Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
'Tis the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it? Down at your local Green King sports pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends, old and new. So get the team to your local for refreshing pints, delicious food, and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky, and Amazon is live at Green King Sport. That means wall-to-wall action on our huge HD screens. Head to your local Green King and watch every winning goal, top bins volley and dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sport app and you'll receive 10% off drinks every single time there's sport on the telly. Happy Christmas! Girls, ladies and gentlemen, Tottenham Hotspur fans around the world, and welcome to another Spurs show with me, Theo Delaney. I'm here in North London and I'm still slightly dazed after yesterday's pulsating encounter between Tottenham Hotspur and Manchester City, which saw us wrestle a late point from the champions up there in the grim northwest with a late Kulusevski equaliser. So the rot has stopped, the losing streak has ended. And next up, we've got two home games back to back. First, the Appy Hammers are due at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Thursday, and then the Barcodes of Newcastle arrive, and that's a game we'll be previewing later in the week. To help me pick the bones out of yesterday's proceedings, the ongoing injury crisis, the visit of West Ham, and more besides, welcome back, first of all, Hannah Barlow.
Hello, hello. Good to be here. Thanks, Theo.
Great to see you, Hannah, and welcome back also from his car on a double yellow line in Streatham, Simon Schaeffer.
How you doing, Theo?
You're not going to get a ticket, are you? It's past 6 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I think I'm okay.
Okay, but we'll understand if you if we hear an engine starting and a quick getaway, we'll understand.
Yeah,
and we'll make allowances. Well, Hannah, Simon, as I say, I'm still a bit dazed after yesterday. It was a hell of a spectacle, wasn't it? It was great entertainment, which is really what Ange-era Tottenham is all about. It was just absolute. I mean, for a neutral, it must have been incredible. Obviously, if you're a Tottenham fan, there was a lot of stress involved. But we came out of it. If someone had said we could come out of it with a highly entertaining, high-scoring draw at the beginning of that game, I'm absolutely certain we'd have all have taken it, given the fact we got 10 players out. Hannah, how much of an ordeal was it for you? Have you recovered?
Just about. I was saying I was pretty exhausted after that one. And I have just come back from Dubai. I was at a summit over the weekend and I was talking to someone who had flown there from Nairobi. And they said to me, bloody hell, like, what is... what is this? What is going on with Spurs this season in a good way? So not only is the the flair kind of getting us excited. It's having like ripples all over the world. But yeah, I was about to say great game, but I think it had its ups and downs. I mean, in the first half, I thought Man City could have had a fair few more. And the fact that Sonny scored both goals within a couple of minutes, obviously not ideal. But that second half was much more solid. Bringing Højbjerg on, I think, had a really decent impact. And then just like all of the goals were brilliant. They were all brilliant goals. And it was just great to see. We love a last minute winner, don't we? I did think 3-2, I was like, would I be happy with this? And actually a lot of the commentary after the game was people saying, oh, you know, we're really depleted. We'd have been happy with a 3-2 and a great effort. But I was thinking, actually, I think a draw was the minimum that we should have been going for and getting, particularly because we are kind of Man City's bogeyman, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We do well against Man City. So, happy with a draw, happy with the performance, and just about recovered.
And I agree with you that it makes a huge difference getting a point because we just lost three on the trot. To even though everybody would have said, 10 players out, you're at Manchester City, the best team in Europe, maybe the world. It's no disgrace to lose 3-2, but the difference psychologically coming away not losing was huge. What did you expect from it, Simon? Did you expect it to be the way it was, or did you think, like most people, we were going to get turned over?
I just find with City, they always give you a chance.
Mm.
So I knew we would score there. It's how many we were going to concede. So even at 3-2, I knew that we were going to get a chance. It's whether or not you take that chance. But I actually thought we'd get a result there. I just thought we're due a bit of luck. We haven't had much luck. The last three games, we could have quite easily won them all. Obviously, the Chelsea game was a bit of a freak. And again, Wolves, you're 1-0 up with 3 minutes to go. You don't expect to lose that game.
Mm.
And the Villa game, you know, if we'd taken our chances, like Man City had taken their chances, we also could, that game could have been outside, but they didn't. But they give you a chance, Manchester City, which does scare me a bit, because obviously the other team from North London, they're not conceding goals. Manchester City are. So I was always optimistic. I was hoping to turn it into a 10-minute game at 2-2. And I thought, we can nick it. But when they scored with 20 minutes to go, I knew we'd get a chance. It's whether or not we could keep one out of the other end. That was my greatest concern.
Yeah. It's interesting, Hannah, what you said. There seemed to be a turning point at half-time. And looking at it, I mean, the team that he picked, it's the same team, essentially, that he picked against Villa, except, obviously, we'd lost Bentancur and Basuma comes back from suspension. But it's almost like the shock value of that selection wasn't as intense, obviously, because when he announced the team against Villa and he announced that midfield, which was so monumentally lightweight in terms of its defensive credentials, and the same could be said about the centre of defence where he's got two fullbacks, you're just thinking, what is this? This guy's like, I mean, I hesitate to use the word, and it's like a pervert. This is perverse. What's going on? He's playing two fullbacks in the centre of defence and he's playing wispy wingers and playmakers all over the midfield. So a week later, he's done it again. You go, oh, well, there you go. But what I thought was really interesting was that at halftime, you know, you dare not say it in a way because you don't want to be the dissenter because you love him and you love what he's about. But you're thinking, this game, you've got to take Brian off and put Højbjerg on, surely. I mean, I know he likes to attack, but this is crazy. They're all over us. They're making chances for fun. And he did it, which once again shows that he's not just doing it for the sake. He's not a pervert. He's not doing it for the sake of it. He does want to win. He wants to win more than anything else. And if it means putting Højbjerg on for Brian, he'll do it. And he did it. And I felt like that in a way was quite reassuring. So every now and then he'll just do something like that to remind you. He's not a showman. He's a winner. And he always has one wherever he's been. Did you think that was the turning point, Simon? Did you think that made it? Because obviously we were so much better in the second half.
Well, we were a bit more solid, obviously, Højbjerg. You know, I actually don't mind Gil. I think he's okay, but he's, I would say he's more of a substitute who can come on and maybe impact the game rather than. I mean, he's obviously playing against the beast of a player in Walker, who's you know, most people would struggle against Walker.
Yeah.
So I didn't expect to get any joy, but he's quite a clever player. Whether he's made for the Premier League, the jury's out for me on that one. But he's a clever player. But I would have played Holberg personally from the start. But that's Ange, and that's the way he's going to be. And I love it.
Yeah, I mean, we all love it, don't we? We were talking just before we came on air, Hannah and I, about Ange and what an extraordinary impact he's had, because it's one of those, he's become one of those crossover figures where he's not just the latest manager of a football team. He's already transcended that. We've seen all that stuff, you know, where he's become a big personality the world over. We've had the Robbie Williams songs and all of that stuff. Hannah, you work in public relations and communications and things like that. What do you think is his secret? Why does this happen? Because he's not like he's not cracking jokes and being wacky or anything like that. He's quite understated, really, in his style, isn't he?
Oh, Ange, or Ange the orator. He is just what Spurs needed in this moment, right? Because he is very down to earth. He's saying what he thinks, or his style comes across in that way. And we've had kind of a lot of different managers in a short period of time who could be quite aloof, who could be quite moody. And then this Aussie rocks up and he straight talking. And he also brings, I think it's matching your words with your actions, right? Because he's come and said, I'm going to try this, and he's trying it. And then there's other small things that he's been really big on, like, yeah, after the game, we are all going to go to the crowd and we are all going to go and like whip up the support and thank the supporters. So there's been some, what you could describe as like small behavioural things that I think have made a massive impact. And people have gone, oh, actually, like, I can imagine having a pint with that guy. Like, he's a good guy. And that's his appeal, really. The other thing I would just say is, like, the test of like any good leader is, can you get, he's got 11 people on the pitch. Can he get more than 11 out of those people? So when your team starts operating in a way that is bigger than the numbers itself, that's when you know you've got a good culture, a good team. And if you looked at our team on paper versus Man City, you'd have gone, there's no way we're going to win this. But the culture and the leadership and what he's inspiring from those players is like a belief, a mentality that builds beyond just 11 people operating with a football. It's an ethos. So, yeah, I think he's got something about him at the moment. We're all buying into it. It's an exciting moment for the club. But can he deliver that over the long term? That is the real test, and that's what we're all in it to see.
What I loved about the post-match interviews, immediately post-match, they said to Kulusevski, what happened at half time? Because we were much better in the second half, apart from the substitution. He said the manager was very angry, was very cross. And I'm thinking, wow, he's obviously had a go for being so totally open and conceding all these chances. But it wasn't that at all. He said he was really cross because he said to us, stop thinking, start playing, just play. Just play the football. Stop thinking all the time. And I think in other words, he was saying, you're too worried. You're not actually not worried enough. You're too worried. And if you just play your football and knock it about and go forward and express yourselves, and that's how we're most likely to win. And, you know, that I think is at the heart of his philosophy. And that's why it's so compelling to watch, isn't it, Simon? I mean, they all look like they want to play. They all want to try things.
You know, whether it's one man or look, at the end of the day, it's all about recruitment as well. And the recruitment has been brilliant.
Yeah.
All the signings this summer have all basically come off so far. There's no settling in. He's brought the love back. It's as simple as that. So, you know, people they want to go to Tottenham. They want to come and watch Tottenham. Tottenham are the new Sky Sports favourites, if you like. Everyone loves Tottenham all of a sudden. And he's brought it back. He talks like a man, as Hannah said. sort of bloke you'd be comfortable having a drink with. You know, he's not doing us all a big favour being here, as the last two managers were. You know, this man has single-handedly, if you like, just turned the whole culture of the club. Everyone wants to come and watch Tottenham now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm loving it. You know, before it was, it's in my blood. I've been doing it for 40 odd years. Mm. And, you know, that's where I want to be every home game and every away game. But this guy has made me want to go. It gets me, you know, before the Chelsea game, we hadn't played for a little while. I was like a little kid at Christmas.
Yeah. It's also remarkable. Another thing, Hanny, you said, you know, a good manager makes something that is more than the sum of its parts, makes the team play above itself. He also, and this is the last time we had a figure a bit like this, was Pochettino, lest we forget. We all felt great about Pochettino in those first few years. For similar reasons, really. He was doing that. He was getting the team playing above itself, but he was also reinvigorating players that we'd almost given up on. And when you look at that, by necessity, he's had to pick players that we thought we'd never see in a Spurs shirt, maybe ever again. The most obvious one in this last couple of games, I think, has been Lo Celso, who was absolutely, I thought he was outstanding yesterday, and I thought he was great against Villa as well. He scored a great goal yesterday, and he looked really comfortable being the sort of creative heartbeat of the team. Ben Davis, I thought, was great yesterday. Didn't get a lot of plaudits. I mean, it's very, very hard playing as a fullback against that attack, against Haaland, you know, in the middle of defence. And he wasn't flawless, but his commitment and his solidity, things like that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that Ange has done and continues to do. Even Brian Hill, who has never really had a great game for Tottenham, suddenly in the last couple of games, he's made a contribution. He may be lightweight. We'll see if he'll go the distance. But he seems to be able to get a tune out of almost anyone. It was great he brought young Donnelly on at the end as well, I think, who is apparently very promising. Funny time to bring him on.
That showed me a lot of, you're going into what I call a squeaky bum time, and you bring on a kid who I've heard of him and I've heard good things about, never seen him play, but I've heard good reports about him and he is the future, and they bring him on. You know, they used to do that before, when Pochettino used to do it with Harry Winks before he went off the ball. It's different when you're 4-0 up, you bring on a kid and you think, go on, go and enjoy yourself, we're 4-0. But at that time it was 2-0, and we're sitting behind the sofa.
Yeah.
Worrying that they're going to score in the last minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he brings on a kid who no one knows what he looks like. I thought that was very, that was typical. That's what I do, Ange. I'm Ange, and that's what I do, and I don't care what anyone else says.
Yeah. Ange preaches to the players, be brave, do things that you think are right, whether you think they're safe or anything, just go for it. And that's him saying, that's what I'll do as well. I will do that. And I think Bissouma, when we conceded the third goal and we thought the game was up, it was because Bissouma was trying to nutmeg someone on the edge of his own box, wasn't he? And I think he said to them, look, play your football, even when you're deep in your own half. And if you make a mistake, I will not criticise you. It seems the only way you're going to get bollocked by him is if you don't play your football, which is what Kulusevski was saying had happened at half time. The whole thing's absolute. It could not be any more different from Conte and Mourinho. It is the absolute polar opposite. And the result, of course, is that we've only got 1 point from the last 12. And here we are, three of us. I think we're very representative of how Tottenham fans generally are feeling. We've got 1 point out of 12, and we're all buzzing. We're buzzing. We can't wait for the next game. It's an amazing achievement.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we are a club that gets slated by the commentariat, don't we? Usually, right? Mm. And now, after every game, brave, courageous, fearless, like the commentary is just so much better, and that just lifts everyone again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the trust that the club has now forged or rebuilt from last season with the fans is giving the permission. And even if we had with the recent losses, they've kind of been forgiven or accepted is probably a better word, because everyone's like buying into the rebuild, right? So we're all going, right, this is, we can actually see the pathway to winning the league now. Whereas last season, every game you come away from White Hart Lane feeling absolutely broken and depleted. Like even if we got a point or like got a win, there was dissatisfaction, wasn't there?
With I seem to remember, I dimly remember, because let's face it, it was all pretty forgettable, but I seem to remember us beating Palace towards the end of the season and coming away. And I think I just tweeted boring. I mean, because it was. And here we are, on the back of 1 point from four games, and we're all thinking the opposite, you know, and that says it all, really. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and talk about this forthcoming game against the Appiamas. It's West Ham's Cup final. Comes round so often, doesn't it? See you in a sec. For premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. There's lots of lovely Spurs Show merchandise available. There are T-shirts with Postecoglou tributes on them and a host of other eye-catching merchandise. Check it all out. You'll find it on our website, all the details in the notes for this show. Our monthly live shows are up and running. We had a great show with David Howells the other week. We've had we had Gary Mabbott the other week. He was absolutely brilliant. So you can sign up for those at season.spursshow.net. But what I really want to tell you about is two very special forthcoming shows, extra special live shows. Next Monday is our traditional Christmas show. Our Christmas party is always a must attend. It's such good fun. And this year, I'm delighted to say we've got Clive and Paul Allen. It's a family show, and the two of them together are great. We've had Clive on before, and he is not only obviously steeped in Tottenham and has an incredible career to draw on it when it comes to stories and wisdom. But he's also really funny. I remember laughing my head off with him and Mike in a pub that we did a live show with him a few years ago in Malibu. He's very, very funny. And him and Paul Allen together are sure to be excellent value. So I think it'll be great. I urge you to come next Monday, March 20th, at the legendary Dingwalls in Camden, one of the great live venues of London. And next year, of course, we've got Paul Gascoigne. Don't forget that. That's next March. You can check that out. Google that and you'll find tickets for the Paul Gascoigne special next March. Do follow us on Facebook, X and Instagram. And please leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts if you get a moment. It's very helpful in spreading the word. So let's talk about the West Ham game. West Ham's Cup final, as it's always billed. Big, big night for them. But as you said, Simon, every game's something that we really look forward to now. And I think on the back, that point at Manchester City will have done us no harm in terms of confidence. And the other thing is we've got Romero finally coming back, slightly sheepishly, I imagine, after his three-game ban. And, of course, we saw Richarlison come on and play a little cameo on Sunday, which it's also encouraging, I think, because although Richarlison has never, as we know, hit really, really got going in a Spurs shirt, he's certainly more than handy to have him to come off the bench. After all, he's an experienced Premier League and international striker. Simon, do you think West Ham will cause us problems?
Yeah, as long as we keep it away, as long as we don't give away corners and free kicks, I think it'll be a reasonably not comfortable victory, but you know, you've got to play well because they're a Premier team, and you know, they're 10th or 11th in the league. They're not mugs, but that they score all their goals from free kicks and corners. Yeah. Well, obviously they've got Ward-Prowse, but they're a big team. They've got big players. They play around Suchek, but if we play our football, we should win. But it's, you know, obviously we've got to respect them, but we should win the game. But we've got to build on that point, which was a big point, unexpected point, on the basis that we'd lost our last three games. But a point is a point. Now we've got to go on and got two big home games, and we're hoping let's get 6 points.
Yeah. Hannah, where do you put West Ham in the we love to beat them table? I mean, obviously, we love to beat Arsenal most. For me, it's Arsenal, then Chelsea. And after that, I'm not that bothered. But where, but a lot of, you know, there is a lot of enmity. There's a lot of animosity, let's say, between Tottenham and West Ham. Where do you put them in your list of hate?
I think they feel it towards us more than we feel it towards them, right?
So, absolutely.
That's why I always enjoy that game. Because the atmosphere is always going to be quite tense and all up for it. So, it's similar to you, Theo. It's Arsenal, Chelsea. And then, I'd put West Ham up there. But as I say, they're more up for it than us. But is Saab going to be back for the game? I kind of read mixed.
I'm not sure about Saar. Yeah, I'm not sure. That would be obviously a real big boost as well. The thing about Saar and Bissouma that we've been missing is they're not. I mean, that the crazy thing was when they got replaced by Lo Celso and Brian Hill, wasn't it? Because you just thought, well, blimey, they're not the same types of players. Because Saar and Bissouma are capable of putting a foot in, winning the ball, very industrious. If we had them both back, that'd be a great thing. I mean, we could really do with them back as well now in the absence of Bentancur. So I don't know about Saar, but obviously Romero's definitely back. Obviously Richarlison's definitely back. It's interesting what you say, Simon, about West Ham, because I've got two brothers who are West Ham fans. They're very grumpy. They've been very grumpy for a while because of the football they're being served up.
They're not, you know, they're listen, if you win games of football, you'll forget about everything. I said this about Conte. If you're winning games of football, everyone will look away from everything else and say, you know what, we've got 3 points, what do you want me to do? That's it. I think they're mixed. The other problem with West Ham is they'll always be the fourth biggest club in London, whether they like it or not, and they can tell me that they get £62,000 pound each. But they'll always be the fourth biggest club in London, and that is the Arsenal is obviously still the number one game, and Chelsea, and then it's West Ham, and then throw a blank over the rest. Listen, we've got to be careful, but we have to play well. Like, you have to play well in every game. You've got to play well, otherwise you will get, you know, the Wolves game. We're reasonably comfortable. We didn't play particularly well. We were comfortable, and you go out to your car and you come back and it's 2-1. You can't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, as we've touched upon, West Ham are sort of a grim, gritty sort of a team. So they will sit deep, I think, hope to catch us on the break. Bowen's fitness is a little bit dodgy at the moment. Antonio's definitely out, I think, who is another player who they hit on the break. So maybe that'll new to them slightly, but I think they'll try and just make it stodgy and defensive. And like you say, try and, you know, profit from set pieces, because he turned them into a really old-fashioned sort of almost Allardyce-type outfit. And that's why the fans are so miserable at the moment, because they're not even getting results. But it does pose problems for us, obviously, because we're very, very front foot and we like to try and get in behind. They won't leave any space in behind. So there will be a need for creativity. But we've got that, haven't we? Kulusevski and I thought Johnson played well at the weekend. Son's obviously creative. Lo Celso's been reborn, as we said. Saar coming back would be good, but we've got Bissouma in there, who didn't have a great game yesterday, I didn't feel, but he is a class player, so he can make things happen. Yeah. But I do think they'll make it tough. Do you think there's any argument for bringing Richarlison in?
He won't play Richarlison from the start. I don't think he's probably fit. But he's never been fit since he's come to club. He's always had, you know, he's always had little injuries and niggles and this and that. Hopefully, I hope and pray that it works for him at Tottenham. I really do. I think there is a player there. And every time he goes out on the pitch, he gives you 100%. But he also needs a goal.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe this operation is correcting something that's been part of the problem.
Maybe. But listen, you know, we just need to, as I said, we need to play our way and don't give away stupid free kicks.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Romero will be a big help, and he'll probably leave out Emerson Royal and probably play Ben Davis. And he'll probably play Højbjerg, possibly, but it wouldn't surprise me if he plays Gil at home. You know, I don't think he's got loads of options. I don't know the situation with Saar, but he'll definitely, obviously, Son, Kulusevski will play, and Johnson will play. Johnson probably had one of his better games he's had. You know, he just needs a bit of belief. He needs to believe that he can, you know, he absolutely rinsed the Croatian guy yesterday, that one-on-one. And that's what he's got pace to burn.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal. I think he's going to be so good for us. And the good thing is that goals are coming in across the squad, right? So it's yes, we've got to unpick West Ham, but the creativity and the way the ball is moving across the pitch and into the box, there is, I think, the creativity to draw them out. And last season, you're sort of sitting there and thinking, oh, is Harry Kane going to get the winner? And that was like the narrative, wasn't it? But now, like, the breadth of the goals are coming from across the squad, which I think is so much better, and just sort of leaves us in a better stead to win over the longer term. So yeah, I'm predicting positivity. I think we're gonna beat West Ham on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of those recent home defeats, there have been two recent home defeats, Chelsea and Villa. I think in both instances, we were victims of the dark arts. If you look at that Chelsea game, we totally dominated them for 20 minutes. Should have been 2-0 up, but for one of those tiny whisker VAR offside decisions. I mean, we were all over them. And then there was a break in play. And next thing you know, they've wound up Romero and they've started to mix it up and make it nasty and a bit niggly. And then it all fell apart. And then with Villa, of course, same thing happened. Dominated for half a half, were winning. And there was a break in play. I think it was a VAR check. And then play resumes and they cynically take out the guy who was really pulling the strings, which is Bentancur. Yeah. And I just wonder if teams look at Tottenham, especially when they're going to play at Tottenham, it would appear, those last two games, and think, look, they're too good to play a football match against on their own ground. So what we're going to have to do is find another way. And one of the ways you can definitely get at them is through Romero and his temperament. So Romero's back on Thursday. Steve Perriman said to me recently on my other podcast, Live Goals, that he thinks that Messi telling Romero and telling everyone that Romero's the best defender in the world has not done us any favours, because it's gone to Romero's head. And that Romero, you know, somehow needs to just buckle down, just get on with the business of defending and stop getting so excited about things.
Well, he's got to learn.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, I don't think he got booked. Last year.
Yeah, he looked like he had learned, didn't he? He looked like he turned the corner.
I noticed yesterday I was a bit concerned about Ndoggie because he got booked.
Yeah.
Again, and there was one challenge which I thought he's gonna just stand on your feet, stay on your feet. And I thought he was gonna go in for the tackle. And once you've got booked once, you're putting up yourself. You're on the edge of your seat because you know, one, especially away from home, and 20,000 people get off their seat. The referee could get influenced, and Romero's got to learn. You know, he got too excited. He got involved in a stupid incident.
Yeah,
with Thiago Silva.
Yeah,
and Thiago Silva pushed him back, and from then on, he lost it. When he comes around paging up the pitch like a lunatic,
yeah,
that's when he tends to. It goes to his head. He suddenly thinks he's a centre forward.
Yeah, and that's the worry.
Stay calm.
That's the worry, because other teams will look for ways to beat Spurs. Well, and they won't all be footballing ways, because they'll think, well, if you look at them when they're in full flight, that looks too difficult. So we got to find other ways, and that looks like a weakness. So let's hope that Ange can weave his magic on that situation, because obviously he's a fantastic player. We need him. We desperately need him right now. That's for sure. Because we don't. Well, Hannah, what do you reckon about Eric Dier? I mean, what on earth? Here we are with no centre halves at all, and he doesn't even make the bench. I mean, I don't think he was injured. What on earth?
Is... He was.
Oh, you think he was injured?
He was. Yeah, I think.
Okay. My mistake.
Injury in training. No, I only know. Okay. It was funny, Theo, because I was thinking exactly the same thing. But yeah, I mean, his career at Spurs is kind of coming to an end, surely.
Yeah,
It's he made a kind of brief comeback, didn't he? Because no one else was about.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I understand it, he's got an injury.
Okay, because that brief comeback was basically that after Romero got sent off against Chelsea, wasn't it? And he actually did. He did really well. He threw himself into it 100% total commitment, as you would hope. He really gave total commitment, and he did perfectly well. And yet, the next game he wasn't picked.
He played against Wolves.
Did he?
He played against Wolves. Him and Davis were doing okay. Marvellous, but you know they were keeping a clean sheet up to the 92nd minute.
Yeah, that's but right. Actually, so
as I said, Theo, it's all about results. You know, if you get beat 2-1, that's what it will say in the paper the next day. You've got beat 2-1. But you have to keep. You know, if you're conceding 2 goals a game, it means you've got to score 3 or 2 to even draw. So you know you've got to keep them out.
Yeah.
All right. Has been.
Let's do our predictions because we're going to come back later in the week to do the Newcastle preview. So let's do our predictions for West Ham. Simon, how do you see it going?
I'm going to go 3-1 or 4-1 to Tottenham.
Love it. I'm going to have to press you to make the decision between those two.
Okay,
though.
I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay, Hannah?
Yeah, lots of goals. 3-2 to Tottenham.
Great. I'm going to say... Well, I was going to say 3-1, so I'm going to say 4-1. I'm going to take Simon's other one since it's going spare. And as I say, if you wouldn't mind coming back later in the week for the Newcastle game, that would be fantastic. But for now, Hannah and Simon, thank you so much for joining me. This is Theo Delaney in North London saying, go New Spurs!
Come on, New Spurs.
Go New Spurs.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.